Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 66, the fourth paragraph beginning with, "This was our course," and reading through that one paragraph ending with, "Thy will be done," on the next page. Today's readers are Jen P., the 12 steps, W., the 12 traditions. Our big book readers are Kathy S. in the text, Nancy P. on page 164, and Ashley F. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour moderator is Christine G. The share IDs for Monday, December 23rd, 2024, are the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 22,016. That's 22,016. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,017. That's 22,017. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning, Rick. This is Jen P. calling from New Jersey. Grateful to be reading these steps. And compulsive overeater recovering. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, this is Karen W., recovering compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. Happy holidays to everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a living God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. Mm-hmm. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works, on page 66, the fourth paragraph, beginning with This Was Our Course, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with Thy Will Be Done on the next page. I will now ask Kathy S. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." This is affectionately known as the sick man's prayer. I use it, first of all, it's just as instructed in this book. This was our course. Our course is to be rid of resentment. So this is the first step. We pray. And what stands out for me in this prayer, what really is the realizing that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. I never took that into consideration, you know, that other people have these instincts that I do, or they've had some hurts in their life. And so they have symptoms of their experiences and their views of things. And so they act on those, and they may come in conflict with mine, my needs. And I just always, I never, for a thinker, I didn't really think. I just would react when somebody did something that offended me, whether that was to shut down or to justify, defend myself, or retaliate and argue, like it we'll talk about in the next paragraph. How can I fix this? You know, people pleasing or coming off cheerful and just trying to get myself back into a place of comfort. I would turn on myself and blame myself. Like when my husband gets mad at something, I'm like, God, why did I say that? I'm so stupid. And I take it personal. And it's just like, it's a personal, I attack myself with him. That's what I did often. As again, a way to cope and to, because I knew somehow that I thought I could change others and how they felt by changing myself. I had no power to do either. And it just kept me stuck. What the process does entail is that I can look at things again with a whole new angle, like see that they're sick too, they're hurting too. So, and then that helps me to kind of move away from them to look at, all right, so they're sick. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Let's look at what's being affected in me. Where am I being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid? And it again turns the whole angle backwards and into a constructive look at myself. And then what I love too about this paragraph is how it ends. Thy will be done. It again, so much of this whole process hinges on the step two, my belief in a God and my decision to turn my will over to God, steps two and three. And when I believe in a God who is loving, who is all powerful and all knowing, I can trust that he will carry out the justice so I don't have to. And that I am okay. I am safe. And thy will be done. Just, it kind of puts me into a place of acceptance and rest. And with that,
good for a reminder.
Time's up.
Oh, wow. You were right on it. Thank you so much for getting us started, Kathy. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your first name and initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Janet B.
Tammy G.
Christina
Loretta
G.
H.
Okay, hold
Rita
on
P.
here. Okay. All right, I've got Janet B., Loretta H., Reba P. I know I missed a couple. Who has already given their name and I haven't called it yet?
Tammy G.
Christina J.
Okay, okay. Got you, Tammy. Got you, Christina.
Anayeta R.
Okay.
Evelyn B.
Okay. So there was Avieta R and Evelyn
B.
Okay. All right. And Avieta, could you spell your name for me, please?
Gara F.
My pleasure. C-H-A-N-A-Y-E-T-T-A. And the C is silent. Kaniyeta.
Okay, Kaniyeta. And you, all righty. And that was, what was your first
From
initial?
Texas. R, like in
okay.
Robert. Okay.
All right. Okay, guys, we're going to stop right here, and then we'll get another group of names later. Here's who I've got: Janet B, Loretta H, Reva P, Tammy G, Christina J, Kaniyeta R, Evelyn B, and Dara S. All right, Janet B, you are up first, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Janet.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So honestly, in my opinion, I think one of the most misused lines is when we say the people, we realize the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. We have to take, for me, I have to take note of that word perhaps, because I could sit there on my spiritual hilltop and say Mother Teresa is spiritually sick. And, you know, I think it's really important that I remember, that we remember, that a couple paragraphs from now, it's going to say, referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others did, we look for our mistakes. So yeah, the other people might be spiritually sick or spiritually developing or human just like me. But I can't stop there and just say, well, they're spiritually sick. That's my part. Uh-uh. But the sentence that really stands out the most to me in what we read was, when we pray, God save me from being angry. if I don't pray while I'm doing my fourth step, I'm just doing like pseudo self-therapy. It doesn't work. And what am I praying for? For God to save me, for God to rescue me from being angry. But really, isn't that what this whole program is about? God saving me, God rescuing me. I could not put down the food. I needed a miracle. I needed God to just swoop in and do a renovation job on my heart and save me and rescue me so that I'm not obsessed about food. And as we read a few days ago, it tells us resentment blocks us off, cuts us off from the sunlight of the Spirit. It's like a steel door that blocks me from my loving God. So I've got to remove these resentments, but I don't have the power to remove these resentments any more than I have the power to stop binging. I need God to save me. And that's why I have to pray that God save me from being angry. And now this is the season of miracles in a lot of, you know, religions. And the miracle they talk about here, right, in Bill's story, Bill talks about Ebby. Here sat a miracle directly across my kitchen table. In the chapter of Vision for You, it says, the age of miracles is still with us. God is still in the search and rescue business, still saving us from our food obsession, saving us from our anger. I mean, what like an awesome God we have. And I will end on that and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janet B. from North Carolina. All right, Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Reva P. Go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning all along with my precious God. You do save my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina, and welcome, welcome to the newcomer, especially at this time of the year. We ask God to help us. Anytime it says ask in this book, it means to pray. This is helping me. It's letting my anger not be there. Let my anger, this helps me not take other people's spiritual temperature. Perhaps they're spiritually sick, but I am the one that needs to write it and look at my part. And it says this is the course. So the course, and I need redirection on this course, because my way wasn't working. That's why I got into the food. Especially 23 years ago at this time, I was in the devastating disease of wanting to kill myself, just like Bill was with the jumping out of my window in New York City. My dad had died, and I did not show up for his death when he wanted to make amends to me for his alcoholism. And because of this program and because of God and the work, 10 years later, I was actually able to bring his ashes to North Carolina and give him a beautiful military funeral where they put the flag in my hands. And I knew I was okay and he was okay. But it was only because of this program. And in Bill's story, it says, at the end, I always believe this is a Christmas card for this time of the year. He talks about in his kitchen that him and Ebby wanted to have peace on earth and goodwill, and I call it God's will to all men. So today I'm going to walk out with God's will to all men, especially during this holiday season where anxious annihilation can happen a lot in my brain, and today it doesn't because of this program. So I'm just so grateful for all of you. Thank you. God bless. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. All right, Reva P., you're up next, followed by Tammy G. Go ahead, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This is so perfect that we're reading this because I needed to hear this morning. So it tells me that I'm going to start looking at my list from a totally different angle. And for me, this paragraph continues like the pivot point. because instead of focusing on columns 1, 2, and 3, I put out of my mind, you know, I didn't like their symptoms and the way they disturbed me. What do? I start praying. I start reminding myself that I can't self-will myself out of the resentments and the fears. I need God to save me from being angry. That doesn't mean the anger passes. I just shared a step 10 yesterday. I think I'm still resentful, but I need to keep praying for God to remove that. And what strikes me is they, like ourselves, just like me, you know, a lot of times people disturb me because they're doing the same thing that I did or I tend to do. And that really pushes my buttons. And to have some compassion, because that's where I was years ago, before program and sometimes in program, and all those people who put up with and tolerated my stuff. The other thing that strikes me is I'm supposed to ask, how can I be helpful? How can I be helpful? That is totally the opposite of what I would be thinking. So now I have my son not doing what I want, common theme. And how can I be helpful? You know, is this the hill I want to die on? Is this the thing I want to show how right I am? Or do I want harmony in my relationships? Do I want peace in the family? And thy will be done. So when I'm praying, you know, what is God's will for this situation? How does God want this to work out? How do I know that my ideas of how people should be, how things should be, is right? I don't. And I'm going to learn that in my mistakes. My whole dishonesty is I think I know how the world should go. And I don't. I prove that with how I treated myself in this disease before I found program. So I am so grateful for the reminder that God removes these blocks, and then I can have peace and harmony, and I can tolerate. I can tolerate not getting my way, and trust that God knows the right, the better, the harmonious way for everybody's highest good. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Reva P. Could you tell us where you're calling from, please?
I am from Toronto, Canada. Thank you.
Thank you, Reva. All right. Tammy G., you are up next, followed by Christina J. Go ahead, Tammy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Tammy G. from Virginia. And this paragraph is probably been one of the most transformational for me in my recovery, because before I came to OA and before I really started working the steps and reading the big book, I just held everyone to such level of perfectionism. And, you know, when they weren't perfect, which none of us are, but it really ticked me off. And I just would walk around with so much anger. And having the sick man's prayer to take to God, to take that to God every day, and to view people through a different lens and to view myself through a different lens has just been really helpful in bringing me closer to my higher power, whom I call God. You know, when the sentence that says, you know, how can I be helpful to him, really smacks me in the face when I start feeling resentful, because, you know, that's what my God teaches me, is to serve others and to be helpful to others and to remove myself from the situation and to do God's will, which is to serve others, which is to love others. And, so I just am really grateful for this prayer that is a design, a discipline to do what I'm supposed to do on this earth. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Tammy, Virginia. Christina J., you're up next, followed by Connie R. Go ahead, Christina.
Hi, everybody. Morning. Christina J. in North Carolina. what really struck me is kind of a side note here. It starts out, this was our course, and the paragraph ends, thy will be done. And isn't that the truth? This was our course, thy will be done. But in the middle, there's a lot of stuff. And my father, with the two wounds I received from him, sexual abuse and rejection of the highest kind, rejection, brutal rejection to a little infant girl, drove every other resentment I had in my life, drove every other fear because of the way I went out into the world and started living out what I thought I needed to do to get his love and affection. Everybody became my dad. Thank God I didn't go out and continue the sexual activities to try to get validation, but I did continue it, all that in a career. And this four step, when I first did it and I found the sick man's prayer in one of the columns on the forums I used, and I did that for each resentment, just saved me because it started to help me see and feel that my enemies were as fragile and real as I was, and to have some compassion and sympathy for them. They have the same kind of struggles in different ways. I mean, we all struggle with stuff, right? I don't know anybody that gets out for free out of this world. We all have something that comes along to drop us to our knees. Now, I'm not responsible for figuring that out for anybody, and I'm not responsible for fixing it for anybody. I can just be responsible for cleaning up what I need to clean up and take the higher road when I'm confronted once again by my father in my face. And the last year since I've been here, actually 2.5 years, I've had that father figure in someone else come forward and stand right in front of me and reject me. And I've overcome that because this fourth step showed me where I was selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and fearful. I don't need to carry those things anymore. Yes, that person hurt me. But my job is now to clean that up and have compassion and love. What happened to that dad of mine that caused him to treat a young infant like that? What happened to him? Breaks my heart to think how someone could do that to a child. You know, this has opened me up to have compassion, not acceptance, but compassion. This fourth step shows so much, helps us to become real and compassionate and patience and tolerance and pity for other people and ourselves. I'm by no means healed, but why did these people hurt me? Why do these people come my way? You know, because I have work to do inside of myself and God wants me to heal. You know, I wrote a song called Thank You for Never Loving Me. And what was the outcome of that? Because my father broke my heart when I was young and caused me to have insecurities that saved me from a lot of BS in life. That sounds strange, but that's my own journey with it. And I'm so grateful that my heart got broken early so that I could have love and compassion for other people. But I got away for a long time. I got away with all my stuff. Now that stuff is being removed. So this was our course. Thy will be done. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. All right, Conietta R., you're up next, followed by Evelyn B. Go ahead, Conietta.
Thank you so much for your service. I am the Sea of Silent, Conietta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. And I am a recovered compulsive eater. I'm in remission today. This paragraph is something that I go to a lot because I'm always going to it when I have resentments. After the 10th step, you know, I come to this and doing one and use this. And I love the fact that somebody brought out perhaps spiritually sick. It's not my job to decide if somebody's spiritually sick or not. But after it says they're spiritually sick, I usually always say just like me. Even though it says they, like ourselves, were sick too. But I didn't want to see that I was sick too. You know, I didn't want to look at me, again, back to a fourth column, where was I sick too? You know, where did I do the same things that I did? You know, and I should be cheerful you know, cheerfully grant a sick friend? I should treat them nicely after they were mean to me or whatever. And so that really always thought, oh, cheerfully. I never liked that. But then it also says here, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? Okay. You know, our whole program is based on helping others. That's what Bill did when he wanted to drink. He went out and found another alcoholic and tried to carry this message. So how can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry. Your will be done. Your will. And you know what? All of this is his will because I couldn't do this. I have no power in my life to be able to do what it says to do in here. Be perhaps spiritually sick, not judge them, you know, like ourselves. We were sick too. Cheerfully, be patient, have pity, patience, tolerance. Cheerfully that we would grant a sick friend. I can't do that on my own. And so this whole thing, of course, you know, I think everything's a miracle. I do. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might, that everything that we do in this program is a miracle. If you're out there, you're suffering, or you're having a hard time, if you're new and think this is too overwhelming, you'll never get this, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. There's one out there for all of us, and they're happening every day. I see miracles every single day. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Honeyette R. I remembered that C is silent.
Perfect.
All right. Okay, Evelyn B., you are up next, followed by Dara S. Go ahead, Evelyn.
Hi, good morning. This is Evelyn in Massachusetts in recovery today. I have prayed at the beginning of this month that my Creator would help me to see where I needed to change, how I needed to change. And I prayed humbly and just asked to be shown the way so that I could stop having anger and resentment toward other people and to see my part in it. And since that, there's been an opening, and I have my power greater than me has been showing me, giving me little words in my that just pop into my head, just different scenarios where I could see. I'm actually, the blinders are off my eyes. I'm seeing my part. And this morning to hear the reading and to realize I'm in this part, I'm seeing this for the first time. I've been through this with vision, this first 164 pages. This is probably the fourth time. And I'm actually hearing the words. I'm actually seeing the words. They're actually penetrating my mind and my heart. And I'm beginning to understand that this healing is possible and that I will know my part in all of it and then learn how to respond in appropriate ways and heal from the resentments and anger, because I really don't want to hold them and bring them with me any further on this journey. And I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm grateful. I'm a slow learner, but I do learn, and the one thing I do is I just keep coming, and I do work towards surrender, and I thank you all for being here and for helping on my journey, and I pass.
Okay, thank you so much, Evelyn B., and could you remind us where you're calling from? If you said, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you so much, Evelyn B. All right, Dara S., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Dara. Or Dana. I don't know if that was an R or an N. Go ahead and unmute. Hit star one to unmute.
This is Dara F.
Oh, hi, Dara. Go ahead. You're up.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me share. I wasn't sure if you heard my name before. Okay. I'm waiting to do a fifth step. I just did a fourth step, and it was really interesting. There are times that it seems that I've done nothing wrong, but I have this this list. That's actually from a 10th step list of character defects. And I go through them and I find that there are things that, that about me that I can change. It may not be something that I've done, but it's like patterns that I, initiate and have, for example, wanting somebody to follow my script for being the perfect husband, mother, friend, boss, whatever. Feeling like I have to feel a certain way because because this is what has been done to me, so I automatically should feel this way when really it's my choice to feel that way. Putting up walls of defiance because I'm not being accepting of reality as things are and who people actually are. So there are a lot of things that may not be I've done something rotten. I have it's like little patterns within me that I need to break down that will allow me to have peace and serenity while there's calamity going around and to maintain that love and tolerance is my code. So I started in the mornings getting down on my knees. I started this several weeks ago and praying for all the people that I'm going to be acting with during the day and the week and for my sponsors and my sponsees and for my mother and my family and for certain program people and for people at work, and it's really helping me. I can feel my higher power coming in and helping me to change some deep set patterns that are just very dysfunctional and not helpful to not letting me be helpful to other people and of service and that have caused me pain by holding on to things that don't work for me. So I appreciate you letting me share and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Dara S. And could you tell us where you're calling from, Dara?
Yeah, it's F like Fox, and I'm in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Dara F. from Virginia. Okay, thank you, guys. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter How It Works on page 66, the bottom of the page on the fourth paragraph, beginning with This Was Our Course and reading through that one paragraph, ending with Thy Will Be Done on the next page. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Larry K.
Melissa.
Ross J.
B.G.
All right. I'm struggling here now. So... So I've got Larry K, I've got Melissa G. Who else?
Vasha L. Minnesota.
Jennifer. Missed all that too.
Joaz G. California.
Wow. Okay. Somebody from California?
Yes, Roz G.
Oh, hi, Roz.
Kathy J. in Illinois.
Jennifer C.
Blanca BG.
Jennifer C. All right. We're going to hold it right there. I don't know if we're going to have time for everybody, but we're going to try. So I have got Larry, Melissa, Ross, Kathy, Jennifer, and Blanca. All right. And just remember to give me your name and first initial when you introduce yourselves and where you're calling from. All right, Larry K., brother, go ahead. You're up, and followed by Melissa. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Rick. This is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, what this paragraph reminds me of, too, I was talking to someone earlier this morning, too, a fellow, you know, can I love people right where they're at today? You know, if this truly is a program of grace and mercy, you know, and because I got here and I wasn't very lovable, and sometimes I'm still not very lovable. You know, I don't know if anyone can relate, but I'm not. And, you know, but I, at least I don't feel that way. But today, you know, it's not about me. So it's kind of this movement from a self-centered, I'm not saying it happens right now, but for me, what I'm struck with is it's a movement from a self-centered consciousness to a God-centered consciousness. This is really all the, and can I practice this even today? Can I love people right where they're at? Because again, as that, when I got here, I didn't feel very lovable. And many of you loved me right where I was at, you know, and we do it imperfectly, right? And you know, some days I have better days than others. You know, I'm no different than anybody else. I you know, when a person offended, it says we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. There can be a sick man. Still, even today, you know, I can be agnostic in certain ways. I could be all over the map certain days. Some days I get up and I'm just off. You ever just feel off? Sometimes I feel off. But you know, that's okay. I can share my imperfections with other people. And then in so doing, I give permission to, in a sense, not that you need my permission. When we do that, it's pretty extraordinary. It's pretty extraordinary. So I say, yeah, they're sick, as I heard, you know, just as I can still be. There's nobody on this line. Newsflash, not one person on this line that has achieved the pinnacle. No way. You know, only by God's grace and mercy. The God of my understanding today accepts me where I'm at, loves me right where I'm at. And this is customized for each of us. I know we have a process. Of course we have the steps. You know, I'm a big book person. Absolutely. But at the same time, I've got to accept that we're human beings. We're just human beings trying to do the very best we can. And so I'm going to try to practice that today. And anyways, with that, I'll cut it short. Thanks, Rick, for your service. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Illinois. Melissa C., you're next, followed by Roz G. And guys, if you don't mind taking just a little bit of a shorter time on the shares, that way we might be able to get the people in who are really wanting to share this morning. All right, Melissa, go ahead. You're up next.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York, and I'll be really quick then. I'll try my best to be quick. You know, I learned so much from other people, and when I was, someone showed me the words, you know, and helped me sort of see that, to think about people as spiritually developing, that was a game changer for me. It really helped me view things differently with this, so that, because the word sick, you know, like spiritually sick, it felt very judgmental for me, and I didn't find peace in that, and I'm grateful for people, you know, my friend who could break it down and sort of give me a different angle on it. And as a teacher, like, there's something I know about the kids that seem to need the most love and patience are the ones that seem to sort of elicit the least love and least patience in you. And when I can view other people as though they're still children inside, you know, they're still coming to the table, like me, with these little girl hurts, with these childlike hurts and pains, then, like, the next paragraph which talks about retaliation and argument, I don't want to get anybody back who's walking around hurt and injured. You know, especially I think about them like a child. Why would I want to hurt, you know, a child, someone who's still developing? And, you know, I want to be cheerful, and that requires a lot of self-discipline, and I can't do that on my own. I actually need God. I have to, like, put out of my mind this idea that other people are going to think I'm weak if I'm being cheerful and kind to somebody who looks like they're hurting me. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm a doormat. Like, I don't lay down and let people walk all over me, but I don't have to get in the ring. And I've had, you know, a circumstance where someone at work just wasn't nice to me. And I tried for, like, maybe 2 days to just not be nice back, because I didn't want to look like a fool being friendly and cheerful to her. And then you know what happened? Not only did her symptoms disturb me, but my symptoms disturbed me. And I found that I was far more better suited to be cheerful, optimistic, and upbeat with her. God's will be done. Let God be in charge of what other people think of me in light of how she's behaving. And let, you know, and let God do the healing work on me and on her. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. All right, Roz G., you're up next, followed by Kathy J. Go ahead, Roz.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And thank you for hearing me, Rick. I know there was a lot of people. And since I've been doing moderating, I get it. This is so very important, because unfortunately I used to think people were a bunch of jerks and were four-letter words when they did, you know, things that offended me. And I thought that way for a long time. And I remember one lady told me very early on in OA, like really early, 20 years ago, I remember I came in a meeting complaining about something, I think my sponsor, and she said, you know, it sounds to me like you need an attitude adjustment. And even when she said that to me, I was offended. My feelings were on the edge of my nose, and I bristled with antagonism almost all of the time. But I was hurting. I was hurting. I was in an alcoholic marriage, and I was so neglected emotionally and physically from my husband. And I was living in poverty. I was just always offended, always upset. When I think about it, it's kind of sad that I spent so many years with my jaw clenched tight that I got TMJ from it. But thank you, God, that I have been in this program, and I have worked this book, these steps, and I've taken it seriously. And it is such a relief to see that people are sick like me. And so today I pray for myself that God will remove the cancer of resentment from me. And it does. I don't feel when I get resentments often, but they don't last long, because I thank God so much for the 10th step, and I don't spend too much time, hopefully no more than an hour. So I just thank God for a change of attitude, a change of heart, and I can spend my time thinking of others, thinking of gratitude, of the grace and the abundant life that I have, and a wonderful, wonderful holiday time. Not an angry time, but a time of gratitude and abundance. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Kathy J., you're up next, followed by Jennifer C. Go ahead,
Kathy. Hi, everybody. Thank you. It's Kathy J., recovered in Illinois. And here's some of the things I heard. Forgiveness, first of all, step six. In step six, I have to be willing to give up grudging. And grudging is an action word. just like resentments are anger in motion. And really, I can't prevent anybody from hurting me. That's delusional. I can only trust God 100% to take care of me or get me through whatever it is. Yeah, and I have to exchange things. I can't not do something. So I have to exchange holding a grudge against them or going over and over it with somebody about them, you know. That's an action. I walk in their shoes and I practice understanding. And then because I know I probably put the ball rolling. That's what else it says in the big book. I did something to set it rolling. And, you know, I have to talk to somebody else to realize that. And, you know, they're doing the defect I don't like to see in myself 9 times out of 10. So I need to see that too. But a real quick forgiveness. I had some things in my life, like everybody, that are unforgivable. They're just plain unforgivable. I had to ask God to forgive them because I couldn't. And guess what? It had the same effect. And just try it. In step 6, give up grudging. And if it doesn't work for you and you do it 3 times, then you get your grudge back. And then you get to eat over it because that's what all this grudging leads to. It leads to the bite. So real quick, prayer that narrows it down. You see, I'm around addicts. I grew up with addicts. Bill grew up, you know, he had alcoholics all around him. That's where the sick man thing comes from. You know, they're addicted, like, but bless them, change me. In the moment, that's the best I can do to really mean, God, take over this situation. And it mitigates. God does something. It's magical. I can't even describe it. So today I want to be abstinent, and I pray for those, you know, for everyone's good and for forgiveness as far into my past or future as I can reach it. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody, if I can say that, and with that, I'll pass.
Okay. Thank you so much for Kathy J. from Illinois. Jennifer C., you are up next, and we'll see if we have time for Blanca. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. This is Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Okay, so trust God, clean house, serve others, right? What am I asking God for? I'm asking God for compassion. I mean, this sick man's prayer can be summarized as like, I want to have compassion for other people, right? Like what this book is teaching me is that I'm self-centered in the extreme, right? So for me in this distinct entity, to drink is to die. Resentment is poison for me because to drink is to die, and resentment will eventually lead me to the drink. So I can't afford these toxic emotions. I can't afford to harbor them. Anger, resentment, fear. I can't afford to harbor them, to let them live inside of me. I can't feed them and let them grow. Why? Because this book is warning me, they will kill me. But if you're not in this distinct entity, that means you're probably still self-centered, and you just may not die from it, right? But this paragraph tells me we're all sick. We all have a spiritual malady, and that spiritual malady can be summarized as we all need God. We all need spiritual help. Isn't that the Christmas story? We all need God. We all need saving, right? Perhaps myself more than others, because to drink is to die. My husband, he may not die today if he has resentment and if he has fear and if he has, right? Like, he's not going to drink himself to death eventually, but he still needs God. And when he's sneezing all over me, right, because of his defects of character, it's self-centered for me to say, whoa, buddy, your sneezing is really getting me wet. Like, take care of that, right? Like, his symptoms are bothering me. No. Hey, babe, can I get you a tissue? Right? Like, my attention turns. How can I help him? I don't like his symptoms, right? They're kind of nasty. But he needs God. So how can I help him? Number one way I can help everybody is to pray for them. And if my channel is clear because I'm trusting God and I'm cleaning house and I'm turning my attention to how I can be helpful, then I'm going to want to pray, right? Like this God of compassion is where my ideals have to be grounded. So the doctor's opinion tells me that my ideals, they have to be grounded in a power greater than myself if I am to recreate my life. That ideal of love and compassion can only come from God. Thank you, God, for saving us one day at a time. We love you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina, and Blanca BG. I'm sorry we weren't able to include you on the share this hour. If you would please go to the second hour and share. Love to hear you there. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Very powerful meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, December 24th, 2024, is 22,019. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Nancy P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, good morning, Rick. I will read that. Let me just get to the page. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Oh, I'm Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.